But what a mighty God we serve. I'm so glad that you could be with us this evening here from the studios at the City on the Hill. We're excited to talk about remnant things, things that are going to ultimately bring our Lord and Savior back, because that's our end game goal of everything, is to be with him and to have him return. And so, again, I'm Pastor Danny. I've got my wife, Julie, over here. I've got Benji. We're being produced by Nat. And we're glad to be here with you this evening. So on Wednesday night, as a part of a greater message, I talked about something that touched my heart, but I only got into it briefly. And this morning, I said to my wife, I said, well, so what are we going to talk about? Which is the way I start every podcast morning. I look at her and I say, what are we going to talk about? And she'll usually say, well, what is the Lord telling you to talk about? But this morning when I asked her, what are we going to talk about? She said to me, she said, Wednesday night you said something profound, which made me put my shoulders back. And I was like, well, I must have said something great. She said, you talked about how the devil tries to increase our knowledge to destroy our faith. She said, I think we need to talk more about that, because you only briefly mentioned it on Wednesday night. And when she said that, it really did resound within me that that's something that we maybe need to talk about for a little bit longer and expound on a little bit. And I'm about to have Benji read a scripture from Genesis, which really is the basis for all of this. But I just let me start by saying that I say this in some form virtually every time I minister, whether it be during a sermon, a lesson, or here on a podcast, wherever it is. I'm always trying to get across to people that God is looking for a supernatural people. He's looking for a faith people all throughout the Word of God, all throughout it, whether it's Jesus saying the flesh profits nothing, the Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing, whether it's the Apostle Paul saying things like, don't even look at what is seen, only look at what is unseen, or in Colossians where he says, put your mind on things that are above. It is a major theme throughout the Word of God that God is constantly trying to get his people to remove their understanding and their flesh, their natural selves, and become supernatural people, to move to become spirit people. One of the first scripture God really began to give me revelation in was in Galatians 5:25, where he said, if you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. Become supernatural. If you've got a supernatural seed inside of you, then also let that seed become your whole life. Let it become everything. God wants a supernatural, so much so that the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. And I have, again, said many times, and I've written about it in my last book, over and over again, I've stressed or tried to stress by the Spirit of the Lord that when it says without faith, it's really saying without the supernatural. Because if you can touch it, if you can handle it, if you can do it, that doesn't take faith. It only takes faith for the supernatural. So in essence, when it says without faith, it's impossible, what it's saying is without the supernatural, without the spirit being, it's impossible to please God. Without the unseen, you can't please God without it. So that brings us to what I said on Wednesday and what we're going to discuss briefly today. What does the enemy do to try to keep us from having faith? And boy, there's so much that I could get up here and say. I could talk about fear. I can talk about pride. I can talk about numerous things, but there is one particular area that the devil uses to plant seeds that eventually bring fear, that eventually bring pride, that eventually brings the lessening or the destruction of our faith. And it's this one word, it's knowledge. Mm-hmm. He uses knowledge.
You know, 1 Corinthians, the beginning of the 8th chapter, it says knowledge puffs up.
Yes.
Paul was warning us. He said, it says knowledge puffs up. And then it goes on to say, if you think you know anything, you know nothing.
Well,
yeah. I mean, those are strong words from the Apostle
and
Paul
that
we need to take note of.
That is a great, not just a great scripture. Obviously, the scriptures are great. But the way he says it, that knowledge puffs up, because he knew that the flesh, the self, who you are, that flesh man, the devil wants to make it bigger. He wants to make your flesh bigger than your spirit man. He wants to make it, maybe that's not the right way of saying it. He wants to make it more important to you.
Right.
Than your spirit man.
You know what you're really saying is that knowledge is the antithesis of faith.
That's it. That's right.
It's the opposite.
That's
it. It's the other side.
That's right.
Something we really need to take to heart.
That's right. And so knowledge makes your flesh man bigger and more important in your life is what it does. And so the devil uses doors, which let me just tell you, because he is insidious. You would be shocked the way the devil brings knowledge to you. And once you start obtaining knowledge, many times, wait a minute, wait for this. Many, maybe most of the time, it starts when you're not even trying to get it. You're not even trying to obtain knowledge, but the devil finds a way to enter into your eyes and into your ears. And then eventually it gets into your mind. And then once it gets into your mind, it starts to close your spirit off from the things of the Lord. Benji, I want you to read.
Well, I was just going to say, at our fingertips, the availability of knowledge through media.
Well,
you know, it's so vast and so immediate and so easy to just touch that iPad and to type a few words to search something, and then you have just a whole wealth of knowledge about a particular subject.
It's not even, that's horrible, but there are ways the devil does it that you don't even have any control over. I've talked about before how I'll just turn on my television, and the home page of the that you have to go to be able to get to the stuff you're trying to watch. Maybe I'm trying to watch the Braves play or whoever. Just to get to that, I have to go through the home page on my television. And on the homepage, it scrolls advertisements
for
things about sickness.
Yes.
Things about even things about astrology and all types of different things that it just scrolls. I'm not even trying to put that on. Just think about when you're driving down the road and
billboards.
There's billboards that you have to look at. We've got to learn to separate. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them. Come out. And people say, well, we can't come out. That sounds like a cult. That sounds like you're trying to be different. We are trying to be different.
Those little advertisements, little things you might see on the TV, they may seem very small, like they're harmless, but those are the little seeds the devil plants in your mind to make you want to crave more knowledge.
Well, the Bible says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's what the Bible says. Well, anyway, I want you to start reading Genesis. This is it's the genesis of everything that we're talking about. It's the beginning of everything we're talking about. And so read this scripture from chapter 3, Benji.
Genesis 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman, Eve, said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings.
You see, everything went wrong for Adam and Eve once they obtained knowledge. And God warned them. He gave them a direct command for them to either obey or to disobey. And it really is that cut and dry still today. God has given us commands to either obey or to disobey. The Apostle Paul said, do not look at what is seen. Look at what is unseen. But I would venture to guess that 99.99999% of Christians on some level disobey that. Now, again, I'm not saying anyone's perfect in what we do, but there is the desire to follow holiness that has to be present in a remnant child. That desire to be holy and to be desperate for it. Though Jacob wasn't perfect, but he was desperate to hold on to God in holiness. He was desperate to the point of, he said, God, you want to make my hip be out of joint? You put my hip out of joint. I'll limp the rest of my life. But I'm desperate for you to bless me. And from, I know the only way to do that is to walk in holiness. I know that's it. So I'm not perfect, but I'm desperate, Lord, to get there. And God sees that. And it shows in a simple thing of God, I don't want to see what is natural. I want to see what is supernatural. I want to walk in the supernatural. And so Adam and Eve, once they relinquished that walk of purity with God and replaced it with knowledge, everything fell apart. From that point on, it was suffering. From that point on, it was a fallen life. From that point on, God set out to get a people that got back to that place of, we're not living in or by knowledge. We're living in this pure, holy, spiritual relationship with God. And the way he did it through faith. That's why the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the devil said, I'm going to destroy faith by knowledge. I'm going to use the same plan that I did in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to get people to want knowledge, to obtain knowledge. And here's the insidious, horrible part of it, is that you have the church world today, and I don't have enough fingers to point the fingers because it's everyone everywhere. The church today now teaches knowledge in the place of holiness and faith. It now teaches about, come to this church, come to this ministry, come be a part of what we're doing because we want to help you with your journey. We want to help you with your truth. We want to help you with your emotions. We want to help you with this. And it all is knowledge-based. And so now the devil has the church teaching knowledge. And the Apostle Paul so strongly spoke against this. And it's one of the foundational scriptures of this place. He said, I didn't come to you with these great words. He said, I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit.
I just pulled that exact scripture up.
Oh, there you go.
5 seconds ago.
There you go.
And I was going to bring it up, but you brought it up first.
He said, this is how I came to you. No one knew the ins and outs of scripture and words better than Paul.
It was his choice to come.
But he chose to say, that's not what's going to change your life. That's not what's going to do it. What's going to do it is the demonstration of the Spirit and
in power.
Power.
That your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
That's it. The Bible says the kingdom is not in word, it's in
power.
Power.
Yes.
And power only comes by faith. And knowledge destroys your ability to get power. It doesn't destroy power, but it destroys your ability to get the power. Because the devil wants to fill your mind with things. Let me just get into what I talked about on Wednesday night for a moment. I talked about how we sit and we'll watch a commercial or a commercial after commercial that talks about medications. And it talks about, and before long, you're sitting there and you're thinking as they're giving all the symptoms, well, I had that happen to me. I felt that yesterday. My stomach felt this. My back felt this. My whatever it is felt that. And the devil's just giving you knowledge. And here's the part that people don't understand. It might actually even be factual. Maybe you did feel that. But that's knowledge that you don't need, because that knowledge becomes greater than your faith. It takes over. And instead of walking in the spirit of, by his stripes, I was healed. He heals all my diseases. Instead of walking in that, now you're thinking, boy, I felt that. I had that in my body. That's what happened to me. That's just one example of billions of examples that fly by our eyes and our ears every single day.
You know, until we receive and embrace that truth that the word of God and the might and the power, the supernatural power of God supersede facts. Till we embrace that, then we can't even begin to get on that path.
Well, on Wednesday night, what my message was actually about was getting to higher ground. And this was just one point in that entire message. The point being that knowledge is lower. Faith is higher. Knowledge being lower it might be factual. It might actually, you know, I go back often to King Asa. It was a fact that if he went and made a treaty with this other king, that he was going to defeat his enemy. That was a fact. He had that knowledge. Well, I'm going to this king, I'm going to make a treaty, and he's going to help me defeat this enemy. That was the fact of the matter. But the faith part of it was God was seeing if Asa was going to trust him. And so because he had knowledge instead of faith, God came to Asa and said, Asa, you have done poorly. And because you have failed me, not only did you miss an opportunity to walk in the supernatural, but you missed the opportunity to defeat all of your enemies by my hand. And so from now on, you may think that you won this battle, but from this day on in your life, you're going to have wars because you went for knowledge instead of faith.
And knowledge is so dangerous in that Asa did rely on God and had faith in the past before then.
That's
knowledge is so dangerous that it can make you forget the faith that you already exhibited.
It sabotages.
As you get older, or
sabotages our faith.
As time passes by.
That's great. Because the Bible makes a strong point to say that Asa was a righteous king. I'm going to tell you, it happens to the best of them. You look at people that are supposed to be spiritual leaders, they're falling like flies. They're falling like flies, and they're doing stupid things. They're doing stupid things because they get knowledge. They get knowledge. And let me bring up another example that I think I might have talked about on Wednesday night. How many times do you hear people say, I need to go find out what's wrong with me, or I need to go find out if something is wrong with me so that I can pray the right way? That's the most stupid devil thing that I've ever heard. That's not the word of God. That's not anywhere in the word of God. That's the flesh trying to be in control. That is the natural saying, well, it's hard having faith, so I would rather know what's wrong with me. I would rather know what's causing my pain than sit here and not know. Now, the remnant person says, I don't need to know. The remnant person says, God knows. The remnant person says, he heals all my diseases.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Yes.
That's what the remnant person says. The flesh Christian, I talked about Derek Prince somewhere where he talked about the false church. He said the false church, the churches that are filled to the brims with all these people, he talked about the false church. Those Christians, they under the false religion, spiritual sounding thing, well, let me go find out what's wrong with me. That way I can pray properly. And that not only is not of God, that is straight from the pits of hell. And how many times have we had two people say that? And I'm saying it's the best of them. The best of them. I've heard ministers, ministers, so-called faith healers. Well, why don't you go and let the doctor check you out? It angers me. It saddens me. At some point, God is going to find a group of people that they finally say, God, we're going to so be about faith that we're going to cut things off of knowledge in our life. And we're going to look stupid to people. We're going to look weird to people. Our family is going to not just discourage us. They might hate us for it. We're going to look like a cult. We're going to look like wackos. We're going to look like we're going to stand out like a sore thumb, as they say. But God's going to find a remnant. Remember, the remnant's small. He's going to find a remnant group of people that finally say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to live.
And that really, really take to heart and listen and read word for word what the apostles like Peter said at the end of his second letter in chapter 3. It says, he encourages, says, know, if you're going to know something, know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well,
and to turn away from the other things that will make you fall from being steadfast.
Let me say,
and it'll turn
things.
You away in error, all that knowledge.
In
he says, only
what,
know the Lord Jesus
to
Christ.
To what you just said. Number one, Jesus said, if something causes you to sin, what do you say to do to it? To cut it off. See, that's what knowledge does. So you have to cut off the source of knowledge. That's number one. But something else that rang true in my spirit was, I talk about the Rechabites in Jeremiah a lot. You see, the Rechabites did what we're talking about. the Rechabites chose to do what their fathers, their people that came before them, told them to do. They said, we have followed the godly words of our fathers, and they said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And we've been following this, and we will not stop following it, because this is how, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to live. And everyone keeps trying to say to us, well, this is what the knowledge says, but we're telling people, we don't care what your knowledge says, we're going to do what we were instructed.
That's Jeremiah chapter 35, if you want to look at it.
And that's what we're doing here at the City on a Hill.
Yes, yes.
We've been given instruction. As most of you know, we have a heritage here that goes back 160 years. And we have a way of life that we're going to live, because it is proven to bring about miracle results.
Yes.
It is proven to bring about deliverance and the supernatural. We're going to do what our father said, and I've been called to do that. I have been called. We talk about the Molochans. You may or may not know who they are, but the Molochans were from our heritage, and they were a people that served God in holiness. And it was prophetically spoken over me that's who I was going to be. And we're not going to change from what God spoke. We're going to add what God has been speaking in these last days, praise God, but it doesn't change what God spoke before. God is looking for people to say, we're cutting off knowledge. We're cutting off knowledge. When Paul said, come out from amongst them, what he was saying was, cut off knowledge. Cut off knowledge. I want to throw this in there. I had Benji read from Genesis. I had him read the first 6 or 7 verses of Scripture, I think. But if you go down 3 or 4 more verses, I think it's verse 10 or 11. I think it's verse 11. I'm not sure. But now God has come on the scene. And Adam and Eve are now hiding because they're naked. They never knew they were naked. Now they knew it. And God comes up on the scene, and he stands there before Adam and Eve, and this is what he said. He said, who told you that you were naked? And that just, when I read that just a little bit ago, it so struck me, and I realized that God is still standing there in front of his people today.
Yes. Yes.
And he's saying, who told you were sick? Who told you had a disease? Who told you had these problems? Who told you to be scared that your bills weren't going to be paid? Who told you to not live a certain way because it wasn't going to be productive for you? Who told you not to give to my anointed house? And on and on and on and on. Who told you? And it's that knowledge, the same knowledge that infected Adam and Eve, the same knowledge that infected their life and caused them to miss out on walking with God in the Garden of Eden. And now we're trying to bring Jesus back, so that we can walk with God for all of eternity. The Bible says he would come in the cool of the day, and they would walk with him. And they lost it. Why? Because of knowledge. We've got to start cutting off our source of knowledge. We've got to start cutting off the things that we watch that are giving us knowledge and ideas about things. And we use the medical world, but it's every area of our lives. But we also have to start cutting off the medical things. We don't need the doctors to tell us what's wrong with us. Right. We need God to tell us why we're healed.
That's right. Amen.
It sounds ridiculous, but it only sounds ridiculous because the church has been wrong for so long.
That's right. That's right.
And God has called me. He's called this church to bring it to where it needs to be. And I want to end by saying this. God wants you to come be a part of it. He wants you to say, I'm willing to stand there and look like the weirdo if I need to. I'll do what no one else is doing, and I won't do what everyone else is doing. That's what we have been called to do. We've been called to be the modern day Molokans, and I want you to join in with us. I want you to be a part of separating from the rest. And that even means most of the time, people don't like this, but that means separating from most of the Christian world, and people don't like that. As soon as I say that, well, that's not, you go read the Bible. You go read the Bible.
Right.
Really, don't read what God, of course God wants all his people to be in a perfect unity. But he doesn't want it in unholiness. It has to be in holiness.
In Revelation, did Jesus go after sinners? No, he went after churches.
Listen, you go read the Word of God where it talks over and over and over and over and over again. And it says, separate yourself from them.
Yes.
Yes, even those that claim to be like us. Because the Bible says this. It says they profess to know him. It says in works, they deny him.
Yes.
This is going to be a ministry of works, of demonstration. And I want you to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. Benji, close us out.
Our regular in-person services include Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., which also include occasional ARC encounters in the back at Pastor Danny's discretion. And our Sunday and Wednesday services are also available on our online social platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And our online functions every day of the week also include devotions that come out every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can tell Siri and Alexa to play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And as always, I want to extend an invitation to come and visit us here in person during our services at the City on a Hill Church, Loganville, Georgia.
Well, praise the Lord. I hope you come and join us. I know, it's hard, but faith is hard. I've been saying it for years now. Faith is hard. Pastor, that's hard to do. It's hard to keep our eyes from those things. It's hard to keep our ears from hearing those things. It's hard. Yeah, what else is new? It's hard, but faith is hard. Faith is hard. I'll end by saying this. Everyone says, well, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. It's light, but it's still a yoke. You're still getting into the yoke to go to work. There's nothing lazy about the yoke, but he's there to help us.
You relinquish your independence.
You relinquish your choice.
You're getting into the yoke with him and going where he's going.
I'm taking my choice out of the picture. And until you're willing to lose your ability to choose.
Surrendering your will.
Until you give up your ability to choose, then you're not doing what we're talking about. You can't have a choice anymore. You're in his yoke. God bless you.